Hi, everyone, and welcome to Juno Afternoon on this Friday. I'm Andy Klein, your host for today. And today we're going to get a preview of Let There Be Light. It's a variety show benefiting the McPheeters Hall Performance Space. Patricia Hall and Karen Allen are both here to talk about that. We're also going to be learning how to volunteer to help children and families experiencing homelessness with Pat McClear and Shannon Fisher. Perseverance Theater's Young Company is going to preview their fall season. Julie Copens is going to be here to tell us about that. And Amanda Blackgoat will be here to tell us all about Alaska Youth Choir for this upcoming year. That's all coming up, plus National Native News, Bird Note, music, lots more, all here on a Juno Afternoon. And National Native News is coming up first. Stay with us.
This is National Native News. I'm Antonia Gonzalez. A federal judge blocked grizzly bear hunts Thursday, days before Idaho and Wyoming were set to open hunts for the first time in decades. A number of tribes and environmental groups are against the hunts. This summer, the Northern Arapaho Elder Society publicly opposed Wyoming's hunt. A statement called such hunting an act of genocide against the species. The court order is temporary. First Nations people celebrated Thursday's court ruling in Canada rejecting the government's approval to build the Trans Mountain Pipeline expansion. Some First Nations leaders held a press conference after the decision. In this video by CBC Indigenous, Chief Reuben George of the Tsleil-Waututh Nation of British Columbia claimed victory.
We've been living in these lands and waters, and we've been governing ourselves for thousands of years. We've been governing and taking care of and being stewards of our lands and our waters. It was a hard fight, but I'm glad today the courts heard the teachings of our culture and our spirit and how we carry ourselves. Any of the people up here that represent the nations could have negotiated for millions. But we can't put a price on the things that we love.
First Nations opposing the project are concerned about land and water. Some bands approve of the pipeline to help boost the economy. As the ruling comes, Kendra Morgan announced Friday the pipeline has been indirectly acquired by the government of Canada. At the end of May, the government announced plans to buy it. The expansion would triple the amount of oil flowing from Canada to the U.S. to be shipped overseas. This summer, the community of Old Harbor on Kodiak Island in Alaska harvested produce from their farm in significant quantities for the first time. Federal funds for the farm project runs out soon, but as Daisha Eaton reports, Old Harbor hopes to keep the farm going.
Right here, we have the carrots. Right here, we currently got the cabbages going. And then over here, we just recently got the lettuce growing.
That's Lapani Nadori, who works for the Alutiiq tribe of Old Harbor, where he, among other things, oversees Nuniak Farm, which consists of two large hoop houses and a chicken coop on the edge of the village.
Nuniak is actually the Alutiiq name for Old Harbor.
This is the first summer they've had the garden fully established. It even includes fruit trees, cherries and apples, and some kiwis. And
how many chickens you got?
35 hens and one rooster.
The chickens produce about 2 dozen eggs a day, give or take. When they stop producing eggs, they butcher them and sell them for meat. The project is funded through a 3-year grant, which ends at the end of September. The city of Old Harbor is willing to support the program when the grant funding ends, but there won't be any more funding to pay for a staff member to manage it. So they're turning it into a community garden to be run by volunteers during the transition. Eventually, they hope a community member will take the farm on as a business. Nadori says the Nuniak food market, where the food is sold, takes a small cut from the proceeds.
Once we clean off the eggs, they actually go into these 12 dozen containers, and they are sold. Also, we have the kale, bok choy, and lettuce that are currently for sale for a 24 count.
The Kodiak Archipelago Leadership Institute, or CALI, helped secure the federal grant for Old Harbor through the Administration for Native Americans. The grant also helped start farms in Port Lyons, Izinkee, and Larson Bay. They're working on wrapping up business plans for the farms with the villages this September before the grant ends on the 30th. In Old Harbor, I'm Daisha Eaton.
And I'm Antonia Gonzalez.
National Native News is produced at the Annenberg National Native Voice Studios by Kwanic Broadcast Corporation. Funding is by Badawi Law Group, provider of Indian Law Solutions.
and by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, with support from the Public Radio Satellite System.
Support by Freedom Lodge, presenting Body and Earth Conference, featuring leaders including Beverly Stabber Warren in a contemplative historic journey to protect our lives and land, September 12th through the 15th, Mystic Lake Casino. Registration through September 12th at bodyandearth.org. Support by BNSF Railway, one of the American Indian Science and Engineering Society's top 50 employers. You can join us at the ACES Conference, October 4th through the 6th in Oklahoma City. Info at AISES.org.
Native Voice One, the Native American Radio Network.
Manfred Mann bringing us into this, into the light. Be Let There Be Light is the name of the variety show we're going to be talking about. And Patricia Hall and Karen Allen are with me right now. Thanks to both of you for coming in.
Well, thank you.
Thanks for having us.
Good to see you guys here. And thanks for the song suggestion, Patricia. Love any excuse to play Manfred Mann's Earth Band. So let's talk about this really fun-sounding variety show for a great cause. It's all happening at McFeeters Hall, and it's
next Friday.
Yeah, next Friday. Let There Be Light. Let's talk about it.
Let There Be Light. It's a collaboration of all the different groups that use McFeeters Hall are sharing their time and talents to create a variety show, and the proceeds are going to help underwrite the replacement of a light board that was stolen from McFeeters last year.
Which is a terrible thing, and I don't want to drag this proceedings down here, but boy, don't steal, right?
Yeah.
Stop the stealing. Anyway, yeah, so a light board actually got stolen out of there, which I can't imagine what the purpose of that would have been for whoever stole it. But anyway, an expensive piece of equipment.
It is.
And and then sort of pointed to the idea that, all right, we need to beef up security a little bit around McFeeters Hall.
Yeah, we need to make it a little bit less easy for people to fall victim to temptation.
Yeah, so, right.
right. When we designed the space, it really wasn't with an eye towards security, because, you know, folks didn't steal from houses of worship, but now we're in a different world. So we just need to be prudent about adding in little bits of security, so
yeah,
locking this and that up.
So let's talk about, this is such a fun idea to have a true variety show, right? But also, that sounds like a pain to produce. Fun pain. But, I mean, there's a lot of moving parts, right?
There are a lot of moving parts. But the fun part is that everybody involved really wants to be involved. So it wasn't that hard just to invite people and let them make their own decisions about what they wanted to bring to the table.
Right. So
what, everyone's bringing a little bit of what they do best.
So including what? What's going to happen at this thing? There's going to be... I was asking, I kind of threw at you, really, like, is it going to be even, like, sketch comedy? Yes. Well, how about singing? Yes. So let's go through all the fun things that people will be able to see at the at this show.
Well, kind of the thing that's going to be linking it all together is Tom Loker is providing interstitial music, and Tom is also going to be accompanying different singers. We also have JDLT, Juno Douglas Little Theater. Heather Laverne will be doing spoken word, and Richard Carter will be doing a song, and he actually performed this. I don't know if you got to see the Miscast show, but a couple weeks ago, JDLT produced a show where people got to perform characters that normally they would never have been cast in. So I got to do a role from Dreamgirls, for example, and Richard did She Used to Be Mine from Waitress. And he's going to perform that song again for
us. He did such a good job. You guys were all outstanding.
Thank you. Yeah, it was a lot of fun. And we have from Juno Lyric Opera, Brett and Cheryl Crawford are going to be there. Kathleen Wayne is going to do a couple of pieces from the Orpheus Project's show, The Sinking of the Princess Sophia. And then, of course, the Alaska State Improv Festival, which is held every year at McFeeters Hall, they're going to do a long-form improv, The Society for the Improvement of Mankind in All Its Wonders.
Wow, that's a big, large subject there.
Yes.
Right. So that,
And Miss Erica Lee is also going to sing, we're going to have a big old finale number with everybody involved. So it'll be really fun.
That's really cool that you get, you know, just cover every single base. So, mm-hmm. so talk a little bit about, Karen, if I can ask you to just speak a little bit about McPheeters Hall as a place for performance in Juneau and the niche that it fills in Juneau.
Well, for me, McPheeters Hall is one of my favorite places to direct a show in Juneau. It is a beautiful, intimate space. It's flexible. It's the only venue in town where really you can set up the seating to fit things the way you want. It's small, but it has a fully functioning grid, and now again, it has a fully functioning light board. It sounds nice. You can do anything in there. I've done everything in there from Shakespeare to She Kills Monsters. And, right. you know, and we'll be reprising for this fundraiser, Theater at Latitude 58, will be reprising part of A.R. Gurney's Love Letters, which we did there last September.
Yeah.
It is, and it, so many groups use it. I mean, that's been the beautiful thing. Everybody who's performing or contributing to this mm-hmm. has done at least one, some lots of shows
yeah, well,
in McTheaters.
You remember when it first opened, Brandon Demery did his one-man show there, I Am mm-hmm. My Own Wife.
Right.
So it really has had a great variety of performers and shows.
And we all remember that it replaces this much-loved McTheaters Hall mm-hmm. that was there beforehand, which was such a utility kind of space, multiple space, and then this vision kind of came about. Well, let's take that great functionality that happened and just kind of bring it up a notch. We'll actually have a stage. We'll put mm-hmm. a grid in and all that sort of
well,
thing.
Well, we owe that vision really to yeah. Aaron Elmore. You know,
he
really
provided so much.
Right, right. Yeah. And yet, great, yeah, thanks for crediting Aaron on that, who, of course, has graced that stage many, many times as well.
So many times, with so many beautiful things.
Yeah, and but that's just, it's really fun to think about how far it's come. You mm-hmm. know, it was, of course, a tragic event for that building to burn down, but as a phoenix, you know, rising mm-hmm. from the ashes, it sort of was reborn in an even more beautiful way. And I remember when it was coming about, you know, that was a bit of a risk, really, to say we're going to really take this space and go even further with it. Mm-hmm. But it's working.
It mm-hmm. is.
Yeah.
It is. And it's really a jewel for downtown. And we're all really happy with the way that everybody feels welcome there and uses it to its utmost.
Yeah.
So this event is fun. It'll be a $20 at the door. We'll have desserts.
Let's talk about the desserts.
Yeah. Yeah.
Desserts. Dessert auction.
Dessert auction.
Yes.
Not everything will be live auctioned. There'll just be a few live auction items, and the rest of them will be in the silent auction. But I just know that people are going to really pull out the stops and bring in very fun-looking things. And
I've heard congregants talking, and they're making beautiful things.
Yes, things with meringues and, you know,
yes,
berries.
So.
And
a good meringue. Oh, man.
I've heard the word ganache, too.
Ooh.
These are all words I don't understand, but just they make me hungry.
Exactly.
Well, that's really cool. So that's a fun way for people to give as well. Mm-hmm. Obviously, the funds are all going. So the funds are going to McPheeters Hall, but talk
yes.
a little bit about some of the specifics that you have in mind for where those funds are going to go and how they're going to be used.
So behind the stage in the green room, as we call it, we need to make that a secure area. Right now, you can just go walk right back there. And we also need to make the doors of the hall right now don't have any kind of latches or anything on them. And so we need to put crash bars on those so that we can really regulate how you get in and out of the hall and reduce the number of people who are opportunistically walking
yeah.
in and taking
just some of those basic security requirements
yeah.
that so many places are having to do, including here at K2 and everywhere else
exactly.
is really kind of having to beef that stuff up, unfortunately.
Yeah.
But it's sort
and
of what's happening.
Security
yeah.
cameras, too.
Mm-hmm. Okay,
so,
right.
So, yeah.
But the lighting board itself has already been replaced? That was replaced?
Yeah, it's been replaced, and we're just trying to now fill the hole that money
that is not yeah. an inexpensive item yeah. at all. And they did a wonderful job. The machine they replaced, they found a beautiful machine that replaces it, and it works beautifully.
Yeah.
Used it a bunch and very happy with it, but that kind of thing is not cheap.
Yeah, yeah. Right. So just in a small organization like this. And you guys said that you're small F friends of McPheeters, and that just it's just kind of a loose group of people that
right.
use the hall and wanted to do something
yep. mm-hmm.
as a fundraising. That's really cool.
Yep.
Yeah. I really appreciate that you're doing that. All right. So it's all happening starting next Friday.
Yep.
It's starting at 7 p.m.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And going to go for a few hours probably. And
yeah, probably till about 9:30.
Yeah, right. A few hours of great fun. You won't go away hungry. You'll go out with a dessert in your hand.
And you will see so many amazing performers from Juneau.
What are some of the things that you think, boy, if someone misses this, there's going to really, not to single anyone out, but what are there a few things that you're thinking, oh, boy, there's one or two.
Well, I think the fact that you get to get a preview of the Princess Sophia.
That is so cool.
I think that is really a pretty awesome.
And a chance to see Richard sing again from that song from Waitress. If you missed that, it was beautiful.
Cool.
Yeah. And, you know, the improv festival, they're going to perform at the festival, but they're not going to be performing much during the rest of this year. And they're good. They're funny and they're clever.
So it's really a fun thing to think about, the wide variety of all the great things that are offered on the stage in Juneau. It's going to be here at one event.
And we're all kind of each other's biggest fans, which makes it even more fun. Everyone is so excited to watch everybody else.
Very cool. All right. Yeah. It's going to be fun. It's Let There Be Light. It's all happening next Friday, the 7th at 7 p.m. It's at McPheeters Hall, and it's in benefit for McPheeters Hall to kind of beef up some of the security and fill in a little of the money that was needed to replace the light board after it was unfortunately taken out of the hall. Anything else to talk about as far as this goes? This sounds like a great time. You guys, I'm sure, are busy.
Yep. Always. Right. We got to go do our light cues now.
All right. Very cool. Well, thanks so much, Patricia and Karen, for coming in and letting us know all about it. Let There Be Light next Friday at 7 p.m.
At the church, actually. You can call the church for tickets or at the door.
Okay. Yeah. Sounds great. Tickets at the door and at the church. All right. Thanks so much to both of you.
Thanks.
Juneau Center Labor Council invites all union members and the community to our annual Labor Day picnic on Monday, September 3rd, from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. Join us at Sandy Beach for delicious food, meet the candidates, and enjoy games with your kids. This Labor Day, celebrate with the Juneau Central Labor Council at Sandy Beach.
Welcome back to Juneau Afternoon. Andy Klein with you, and joining me next is Shannon Fisher and Pat McClear from Family Promise of Juneau. And you guys have some unique opportunities for volunteering to help folks who are experiencing homelessness in town. So tell me a little bit about that.
Yes, we do. So we serve families experiencing homelessness, and they stay a week at a time at different congregations in town. And we are inviting local leaders the week of October 7th through 14th to come and volunteer to serve dinner. It is going to be held at Cathedral of the Nativity downtown. And you can contact us at 500-3032, maybe if you're running for office. Maybe if you
yes.
are a leader of a local business or running any kind of state agency, anything like that. Really, anyone is welcome to come help out that week, and it'll be a fun time.
That's a fun idea to say, hey, if you consider yourself a leader in this community, this is a great time to show leadership in this area that we all know needs attention and where you need volunteers, as you were saying as well, Pat.
Yes, we are... have two employees. One is Shannon, who's full-time, and then we have a part-time employee, Teresa Kissel, and the rest falls on the shoulders of volunteers. And so congregations throughout Juneau have folks who are trained to be volunteers, and then there's many also who don't belong to a particular congregation, but they're just folks who are willing to help out.
Yeah, let's talk about just for a moment. The organization itself is actually kind of an organization of a bunch of different organizations, right? That and all benefiting this one cause. Is that kind of right?
Correct.
Yeah.
One of the words we use for it is a network. We
yes,
network.
That was the word I was looking for.
You know, Family Promise is a network here in Juneau. And so families stay a week at a time at different, typically, congregations, but we're open to opening that up. So we're all working together for the same goal of helping families here in Juneau.
And the need for volunteers, is that something that fluctuates seasonally or... talk about that a little bit. What are the needs that happen, you know, year in, year out? Are there times of the year where you know, okay, we're going to have a more need, that kind of thing?
Well, we utilize volunteers every day of the year. And there are definitely more times during the summer months when folks are out fishing, doing fun stuff, that we definitely struggle for volunteers. But we always have opportunities for those who want to participate.
So not so much need-based as far as, like, there's more work to be done because of need, but often just based on the ability to get a number of volunteers.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
What's a typical day look like? How many volunteers would you typically employ in a day?
Well, we usually have, you know, Pat, why don't you speak to that?
Yeah. So when folks show up at the church that this, the congregation that they're staying in, we have a van driver who's a volunteer who brings them from the day center at Chapel by the Lake and delivers them to the congregation that they're staying at. And then there's a couple of volunteers who then greet them, share a meal with them, a meal that they have prepared, and they then the second shift comes in around between eight and nine and stays overnight with the families, gets them up 6:30 the next morning because another van driver will come and pick them up and bring them back to Chapel by the Lake. And then folks are at the chapel who that very generously offer space for a day center. So there's a room for the families to hang out in. They have lockers, showers, washer and dryer. I mean, they're most generous to do that. We have a room with a computer so families can do searching for whether it's jobs, housing. And then our staff is there as well to help them jump through all those hoops and cut all that red tape so they can get sustainable housing and employment, education.
So there's half a dozen or more people involved every single day.
Every day.
It's a lot of manpower that needs to be kind of meeting this challenge.
So in an effort to meet that challenge, Shannon will be conducting a volunteer training on Thursday, the 6th of September, from 6:30 to 8 o'clock at St. Paul the Apostle Church, which is out on Atlin, Super Bear intersection.
Landmarks.
Landmarks, right. So what the... we need to emphasize is that you do not need to be in a congregation that is participating as a host or a supporting congregation. We'll take folks who have nothing to do with a congregation. We'll take folks who are in a congregation that's not participating, but they see this as a social justice issue that they're willing to put time and effort into. So,
yeah, so tell me a little bit about the idea of training. What sort of things are important for people to keep in mind during kind of that idea of how you train up for this sort of work?
During the training, we start with the logistics of how the Family Promise rotation works. And then we dig deep into the aspects of poverty that might come with a family who is joining us, what they may have experienced, what things might look like for them, and then talking about how it might be a fulfilling experience for the volunteer.
So your organization are the feet on the ground,
mm-hmm, yes,
dealing with this issue day to day. So just this is, I don't know if this is a fair question, but how's it going? Is it getting better? Is it worse? Are you seeing different types of people? Are there more families, less families, more, you know, what's the shape of the homelessness issue in Juneau looking like from your perspective right now?
Well, the shape of the homelessness issue is that typically we see it as individuals, and families are somewhat
invisible.
Is that right? Here in Juneau. So I think it really surprises people when they hear how many kids are experiencing homelessness here.
Do you mean the visible aspect of homelessness on the street is, mm-hmm, something where you typically are seeing not families?
Correct.
So how does the family homelessness manifest itself? What does that look like then?
Oftentimes it's families struggling and holding on to whatever housing situation they have in order to not encounter that street homelessness. So they might be staying with someone that is not a good fit, couch surfing, not knowing where they're going to be night to night. But we do know from the school district that last school year, we had over 130 students, so just the kids in the school district, not anyone younger, experiencing homelessness.
Wow, that's a huge number.
It is.
Yeah.
It's big.
And we've talked about this when you've come in before, but what are some of the steps you take to turn that from a day-to-day situation to a more permanent situation for people's housing?
Yeah, so what people might not know about homelessness is that it's very expensive. It's incredibly expensive to be homeless. If you don't have a kitchen to cook in, if you are paying night to night to stay places, if you're using your resources to help out the entire group that is staying in a home to help contribute, you don't have the money to save to get into sustainable housing. So when families are with us, they don't pay rent, they don't pay utilities, we help them with transportation and a lot of other miscellaneous items so that they can save. We help them track that savings, we help them search for jobs, help get kids in schools and daycares that let parents go to work. And then we create that plan for long-term sustainability.
Wow, so then is there a way that you all track success rates?
Right now, I think we've placed 10 families in sustainable,
mm-hmm,
housing,
mm-hmm,
and we've been open for a year and a half.
Yeah.
Well, so that's really made a huge difference for 10 families,
yes,
which is going to represent,
yes,
30, 40 people,
yes,
in this community.
So I would put it as 95% of those we have served have graduated into sustainable housing.
Oh, that's a really incredible work that you guys are doing. That's great.
And those stories that you don't hear, like the little kid who is helping, his family was moving into an apartment, and he saw another child that he knew from his kindergarten class, and then he comes running in and says, "Mom, can my friend come to our house?" You
yeah,
know, he's
right.
never been able to do that before.
Right, right.
Or the kid who was the first time she had a bed. You know, she had her own bed. She's, you know, 4 or 5 years old. It was the first time she had her own bed. Those are the things that make you get a lump in your throat.
They're certainly beyond statistics. They're,
oh, absolutely.
They're human.
Yeah.
They're real.
And they're so influential for the rest of those children's,
yes,
lives.
Absolutely.
Having
absolutely.
A permanent home
right.
is something
right.
that then, you know, generates good things in this community right. and for the people
well,
living here.
When you think you about know, that having a decent night's sleep, you've got food in your belly, and you're not worried about if I wake up, am I going to know where I am? You
or
know?
Just in a dangerous situation.
Or a dangerous situation,
or
absolutely.
Like
I'm
that,
not
yeah.
sleeping. I'm not waking up in the car.
Yeah.
I know we're also here to talk about mudrooms, but I want to throw in one more thing that beyond this rotation that we do and working with families, now that we've been doing this for a year and a couple months, seen graduate families out and seen the progress that they've made since then, the change in kids even after that, because they're with us a couple months, but the change continues long term.
Once people have that stability of home, their ability for them to improve their lives just sort of exponentially increases.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, right. Yeah, yeah, yeah. So let's talk about mudrooms. They have generously chosen you as their beneficiary for their very good.
So
thank you to mudrooms.
Tuesday the 11th will be the season opener, and I will be telling a story, as will Pastor Stage Harvey and Pastor Phil Campbell, and
An all-star cast.
It's an all-star cast. So as the goes, $7, seven storytellers, 7 minutes each, and there's cookies, there's coffee, and Avery Stewart will be the providing the music, and we're so very grateful that they were willing to give us the nod so that we can stuff all the money in the cash box.
Now, is that a kind of year-long relationship, or just for this?
We, being Family Promise, have it September, October, November, December, and January. It's the monies will go to the Northern Light elevator.
Okay.
And then for the remainder of 4 months, it'll be NAMI.
Oh, very good.
Yes.
So they always choose amazing, incredibly worthy organizations to give the money to.
Yes. Yeah.
And
yeah.
such a what a fun, amazing way to give money, by getting to go listen to stories from people who
How painful is
right,
that, huh?
How painful
is that? And there's a whole new audience then that will become aware of Family Promise, and hopefully folks in those audiences will say, you know what, that sounds like a good one, and give me more information, where do I sign up?
Sounds great, yeah.
Pat, I'd pay to listen to you talk all day.
Unfortunately, we don't have all day. That's the end of our segment. But thank you so much, Pat McClear and Shannon Fisher from Family Promise of Juneau. Thanks for all the work you guys do to help this really important issue of homelessness and making sure that families have a place to stay.
Thank you.
Thank you,
Mandy.
Coming up next, here's Bird Note.
This is Bird Note. The dog days of August bring hot, sultry weather to much of North America. Just step outside, and you're already looking for a cold drink. Birds need liquids, too. Some birds can go a long time without drinking, even in sweltering habitats. They metabolize water from even such dry foods as seeds and reabsorb fluids internally rather than excreting them. Other birds eagerly seek out water on hot days. Songbirds, like robins, find water at a stream or bird bath. A robin takes a mouthful of water, then tips its head way back to send the water down its gullet. Pigeons drink differently. They're among the few birds that can suck in water with their heads down. Swallows and swifts drink with enviable grace. Gliding low across a pond, a swallow tilts its wings upward, lowers its head to the water's surface, and skims a beakful of water on the wing. And they make it look so easy. Keep your bird bath full, yes, but keep it clean, or the birds could be picking up a disease with that mouthful of water. To learn more, begin with a visit to our website, birdnote.org. I'm Mary McCann.
Support comes from Sasquatch Books, announcing Bird Note, the book, full of illustrations and stories of 100 birds. More at sasquatchbooks.com.
The Juneau School District Homebridge Homeschool Program is accepting applications for the 2018-19 school year. Homebridge allotments have been increased for both K-8 and high school students. Students may take up to 2 classes at their neighborhood school with no allotment reduction while simultaneously pursuing their homeschool education. For more information, visit Homebridge online under Schools on the Juneau School District website or call 523-1821. This message brought to you by Homebridge.
the Jam, a town called Malice. Our town is coming up as one of the first performances of Perseverance Theater, and Julie Copens is here with me in the studio. Julie, thanks so much for coming in.
Thank you, Andy.
And telling us all about all the upcoming stuff coming up.
Oh, my gosh, it's exciting.
Just, you're bright. You're in that time right now. And also, I just wanted to mention, on the line, we have Steve Gregg, who's the director.
He's the playwright.
Playwright of this first play that you guys are doing.
Right. So in connection with our town, we're doing a young company production. This is our student performing group, and we're looking for actors, teenagers. Steve is a fantastic playwright based in L.A., and I'll let him brag about himself. But he wrote the play Crush, which has a connection to our town, a thematic connection. So we thought it would be fun to have the students work on that piece while the grown-ups are working on our town.
Steve,
and audiences can catch it in October.
That sounds
great,
Julie. Steve, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much.
Thanks for joining us from L.A. Great to... Now, how did you get involved in doing a play in Juneau, Alaska, of all places?
Well, that's really Julie. I worked with Julie for at least a dozen years now with a different organization. And when she ended up with Perseverance Theater, she reached out to work on this play that she was actually certainly had a hand in developing. So,
yeah.
But I've known her for, like I say, about a dozen years.
Way too long, okay. My previous show, before I came to Alaska, I worked for Dramatics Magazine, which is published by the Educational Theater Association, national organization. I was one of the editors. And Stephen Gregg is one of our most prolific playwrights. We publish plays. The magazine covers school theater. And Steve's play Crush was featured at the 2016 Thespian Festival that I helped organize. So I was familiar with it. And when Perseverance announced that our town was going to be the season 40 season opener, I thought, oh, what a great opportunity to do Crush. And most exciting of all, we're going to bring Steve up from L.A. For about a 10-day residency. He'll be coming to rehearsals, working with the students, maybe making some tinkerings to the script, which is wonderful, and also doing some playwriting workshops.
Cool.
So we want to get some more kids thinking about writing their own plays, too.
So, Steve, tell me a little bit about that. Number one, I'm interested, when you're writing your plays, are you often writing specifically knowing that there's going to be youth kind of interested in the plays? Is that how that goes? I kind of don't know that world, so tell me a little bit about
that. I am. So actually nobody knows that world because as of 15 years ago, there really wasn't even a world. The list of most produced high school plays stays the same every year, and the average length of those plays is about 70 years old. You know, it's our town and Arsenic and Old Lace.
You can't take it with you.
You can't take it with you. Two Shakespeare.
A Midsummer Night's Dream.
Right. Right. The musical list is slightly different, but the straight plays have remained the same, and that's not really because there's inappropriate content in more recent plays, although there is some. It's really a cast size issue. The average size of a high school play is probably about 17, because a high school teacher needs to be able to cast a star or two, and then some up-and-coming people, and then a few people who just, you know, want to take part. So there aren't a lot of modern plays out there that can support cast size.
That's really interesting that really you're sort of solving a logistic issue for high school drama departments, kind of, and you know those parameters, and then those parameters maybe speak to what sort of work you're going to end up doing in a way. Is that kind of right?
Yeah, absolutely. And because our town does get a lot of high school productions, when I was thinking about the play and realizing that the characters in the play were going to be producing a play, our town made a lot of sense for a bunch of reasons.
Oh, cool. All right.
So, Steve, can you tell people what Crush is about?
Yeah.
It's such a fun story.
So, Crush centers on a character named Bark, who is the only person in a tiny and dying town who knows that the new student at school is actually part of the vanguard of an alien invasion. He's the only one who can hear and see what's going on, and so the rest of the town thinks he's crazy.
Of course, naturally.
and he has a history of mental illness. The play actually does have a sort of theme of mental illness, what's real and what's not. And so, the more, of course, the more he claims it, he actually gets institutionalized at some point. But he does save the town.
Well, that's
good. It's really not that dark. It's a comedy.
Yes.
It is a comedy, and there are lots of crush relationships in the play. There are a lot of people with crushes on other people, as you often have in a high school and in a town. And, you know, our town, I was thinking about this the other night because we just had our first rehearsal for the main stage production of Our Town, starring Irene Bedard, the amazing Alaska native actress, is in that cast. So I heard the play read by those actors for the first time, and it's based on couples. It's Emily and George, the high school sweethearts.
Right.
It's their parents, and you see the loving relationships between the parents and how those very specifically develop. And you see some people who have had disappointments in love. You know, the choir director, Simon Stinson, an alcoholic, and there's suggestions. They say things like, well, he's just not cut out for small-town life. So probably suggestions that he's probably a homosexual, and he has had struggles in the small town and 1910. What Steve does with Crush is, what if those romantic disappointments and those foiled sort of yearnings that we all, those heartbreaks that we endure in our adolescence, what if that's actually an alien race trying to channel that negative energy to fuel their world domination plans? So it's very Thornton Wilder, I think, very classic, and it all plays
a lot
out
in
hilarious.
My life if that
exactly.
is what it was.
It's, yeah.
I appreciate this theory.
It makes so much sense.
It makes so much sense now. Right. What a weight off my shoulders.
Right, but there's so many, in Crush, there are so many fun, ironic sort of inside jokes about our town. There's, you know, when the cast list gets posted, and if you've ever been in high school drama, you know, that is the big day. Like, what part did I get? So everyone goes and looks on the cast list, and one poor girl who never gets anything, but she's, like, hardworking, on the ball, super sharp. She's like, I got the stage manager. I'm the star. I'm the thing. And then they're like, no, you're the stage manager of the play, not the stage manager in the stage manager in the play is this beautiful person, you know. So she's disappointed. So if you know Our Town, and of course, like Our Town, it's performed without scenery, without props. It's very imaginatively realized with the audience's help. So that really works well for us because for that reason we're able to do both productions on the same stage on the same weekend. We just change the lights a little bit, add some sound cues, and we can pull both off. So audiences who are real theater geeks could actually see, but on Sunday, I think, of the October weekend, October 21st, you can see both plays back to back. You can see an early matinee of Crush and then a 4 o'clock matinee of Our Town and see how the two plays compare.
That's
so
really cool.
It's going to be a lot of fun.
Yeah, yeah. Is there some cross casting of
There's
both
not,
work?
Because
okay.
it would
you couldn't,
make people crazy.
That's what I was going to say.
Right. It's okay. Too much. I would love to, but no. But the casts are different. And I am now, I'm currently casting for Crush, and we need actors. Basically, we're casting 6th to 12th grade. And Young Company, historically, the last few years has been 4th, 5th, and 6th graders. This play skews a little older. It's a little more mature. So we're looking to get some high school students. And for that reason, we've adjusted the rehearsal schedule. So if you know a teenager and who might be interested, our rehearsals are from 4:30 to 6 p.m., Tuesdays, Wednesdays, and Thursdays. This is starting September 18th. And we also have Saturday morning rehearsals from 9 to noon. So I know 9 o'clock is a little early for teenagers, but by adding that extra hour, we can start a little later in the afternoons because the high schools don't get out until a little later. So we'll have time to get there.
That's cool. And Steve, has this production been performed in lots of other places?
It has, actually. It got a nice launch at the festival that Julie mentioned. And then it's been all over the country. In fact, one middle school has done it, but mostly high schools and a couple of colleges.
And do you get a chance to go see some of these performances?
You know, not usually. Fortunately, I do have other plays, but I can tell when and where they're coming up. So if there's one close, I'll zip over. But I haven't seen Crush anywhere except. Well, that's not true. What am I saying? I saw one in Los Angeles.
Cool.
I forget I said anything. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I saw a tiny little production in a black box theater.
I'm just interested I'm interested in that impression you got if you're a playwright and then you know something's happening, but you're separate from the production itself. And then you just get to go, And of course, it's a youth organization. You know, it's a youth.
Not perfect.
Right.
Yeah.
It's not going to be perfect, but it's going to be full of energy and fun. And I just wonder, how does it feel? How does it feel to see that happen in front of you?
You know, it's amazing. There was just a New York Times article, I think last Sunday, about playwrights having to let go of their works and seeing it other places and feeling uncomfortable that it wasn't as good. You really have to let that go as a high school playwright.
Right.
But in return, you really do get an audience that is not like any other audience out there. They're so enthusiastic. That's why I like the show. And it's often a lot of families, which is kind of lovely because, you know, the audience is rooting for the characters, but they're also rooting for the actors who are playing those characters.
Yeah, I can imagine the energy is just pretty fun to see.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, Julie, fill us in a little bit more. This is, of course, you're just starting the season.
Right.
So
season
fill us in a little
up.
Bit more
so,
about the season coming
so
up.
So continuing on the youth side, so tomorrow, I know you've heard about this on the radio before, but tomorrow is the big Harry Potter celebration, partnership with the library out at the Valley. In the afternoon, we're going to read. We have some great actors lined up to read from the first book to celebrate that. And then, yeah, we are starting up the season. So October 5th is opening night of Our Town. We have the play Franklin, brand new world premiere play about science and music and history, fascinating mystery to unravel. That opens November 30th. Another world premiere, Whale Song, beautiful Arctic native coming-of-age tale, opens February 1st. The musical Guys and Dolls, everyone loves that.
Yeah.
It's going to be a sensational production opening in March. And then in May, we've got Steve Martin's The Underpants. So that is the main stage season. And throughout the year, we're going to be doing a lot of youth and family programming in connection with those shows. So we really want to make the two things integrated and get people to experience these plays with their families in a really fun and engaging way.
That's great.
Stay tuned.
That's great. Perseverance Theater is such a great organization. We're so privileged to have it here in this
Thank
little
you.
Town, in our little town of Juneau. Steve, thanks so much for joining us from L.A., all the way from Los Angeles, California.
He'll
Steve
be
Gregg.
Here soon.
And he'll be here soon, and you'll get to interact with the playwright right here in our town. And that play, Crush, is sort of a companion piece in a way to Our Town, which is also being produced. Steve, thanks so much for joining us. I appreciate it.
You're absolutely welcome. Thank you.
And Andy.
And Julie, thank you so much once again for joining us. It's, again, Perseverance Theater's young company, Crush, looking for folks right now.
Yes, ptalaska.org. If you click on education and find the young company link, that's how to register. It does fill up. So if you have a teenager who's interested, get them signed up, and we'll put them on stage.
Julie Copens from Perseverance Theater, thanks so much for joining us
today.
Andy. All right. Back to Juneau Afternoon. Andy Klein with you today, and Amanda Blackgoat from the Alaska Youth Choir has joined me. Amanda, thanks so much for coming in.
Well, thank you for having me.
Yeah, so let's talk about the youth choir just starting up. Just like we're just talking to Perseverance Theater, they're just starting up their season. Alaska Youth Choir just starting up your season as well.
Yes, we are. We are starting our 24th season this year, and we have done a couple of different things this year. Instead of having auditions, we're having placement rehearsals. We thought that having auditions meant that kids might be a little more apprehensive. Not,
a little intimidating
might not,
sounding, yes. Yeah.
So we decided to have placement rehearsals, which are September 4th. And we will have ages 6 through 10 start at 5:45 to 6:30. And then we will have the older kids, 11 and older, start at 7 to 7:45. In between time, from 6:30 to 7, we're going to have that second chance parent meeting, orientation parent meeting. So we had one already, but if you missed it, don't worry. You can have, you can meet this one and hopefully knock two stones out.
Yeah.
So we are going to be at the Faith Lutheran Church in the Valley on Sunset Street.
Okay.
So hopefully people folks
yeah.
will come out, and that's Tuesday, September 4th.
Now what if there's a kid out there that thinks, well, I'm kind of interested, but I don't think I'm a very good singer. I don't know. I sing too high. I sing too. You know.
Those are the best ones. The ones that love to sing and don't think they can sing. That's what we're here for. That's why we exist half the time.
Yeah.
You know, I have three beautiful girls. One of them, before she started singing last youth choir.
You're not going to say which one.
No, but I can say now they can all carry a tune and they know what they're doing for the most part. So I think it's very beneficial. Not just for singing, though, but it also adds the other aspect of being able to perform with a group, being up on stage, being able to have some poise. They learn other skills, too, other than just singing.
And I think that what you said about a group is such an important thing for people who have a hesitation about being out in front in a being out in front of a crowd or performing. Mm-hmm. You're there with your friends, right?
Yes.
You're there with your buddies. There's all that support.
Yes.
Everyone's there to support each other.
Yes, it's very much a community, you know, event where they're singing their hearts out, and it's kind of a... it's bigger than the sum of all the parts, you know. It's like
sure.
It's more than.
Yeah.
So it's awesome, and you really just feel a part of it. Whether, you know, sometimes we have good ones, sometimes, you know, we have great ones. So, but no matter what you're seeing, you're always seeing those kids do their best.
Right.
And that is always
yeah.
heartfelt.
When you kind of divide, you do a little bit of division based on age of how you kind of deal with the two groups?
We do. Actually, we have three groups.
Three groups, okay.
We have preparatory, intermediate, and advanced. Preparatory tends to be the younger kids. Intermediate tends to be, you know, like third through fifth grade, I would like to say. And then advanced tends to be older. Now, there are some that are a little bit younger that have gone on to be in the advance. So, but that's why we have placement rehearsals, is so that the our wonderful music director, Richard Moore, can ascertain which group is the best group for you.
And sometimes it's just matching quality of voice or mm-hmm. tone or things like that, right? Just
yeah.
wanting to figure out. So then, how do you determine, and how do you determine the sort of the appropriate material that each one of these groups does? Does that vary? I would think that would vary,
it
right?
It does vary, and we leave that up to Mr. Moore
okay,
on that.
Okay, yeah, right.
So, but yeah, he picks the songs and figures out what works best. And, you know, one set of young kids versus another set of young kids, it could differ greatly depending on, you know, attention span and, you know, and heart and
right.
stuff like that. But,
And then what's ahead in the season? How many performances typically do you do? And then sometimes the youth choir even does some travel and has some travel opportunities, right?
Yes.
In years past that's happened, yeah.
Yes, we have traveled in the past. We have not done it in the last year or so. We're hoping to change that this year, but it does depend on size. So we have lowered our tuition, hoping to encompass more people or entice more kids to come and try us out because, you know, things change, economy changes. And so we want to make sure it's available to everyone. So we also have and are grateful for the Grace Akiyama Scholarship Fund, which also helps any choristers that want to sing and maybe think that it costs too much or need a little help. So we encourage everyone to apply, both for the scholarship and to become an Alaska Youth Choir chorister.
Yeah,
so
that's really cool. And then how many kids are typically involved, or how many were involved last year, and how many are you hoping for?
Well, typically we have about, I think last year we had about 25, 27. we're hoping to get bigger. We would like to like to see it a little fuller.
Sure.
And, I think we're aiming for about 40 this season. So, you know, people can come give us a try. So I really would encourage that. Mr. Moore is great about welcoming everyone, all shapes and sizes and age levels. And
my daughter was in choir with Mr. Moore, and when Missouri Smythe was the director as well. And I remember the really fun thing as she kind of progressed through choir was the different groups would sing the different things, but then there'd be they'd all get together, right?
Yes.
And then you'd
yes.
hear the full power
yes.
of this choir, and why the choir is such a beautiful thing. These 20-some, 40 human voices all
yes.
singing in this beautiful, unified way.
Yes. That's
yeah.
the best part.
It's the best part, right? That's the finale.
Yes.
Okay, well, one more time, what if people are interested or if they know a young person that might be interested in giving this a try?
So September 4th, Tuesday, we start at 5:45 for placement rehearsals for ages 6 to 10. We have a second chance orientation meeting for parents from 6:30 to 7. And then the last placement rehearsal for 11 and older from 7 to 7:45 at Faith Lutheran Church on Sunset Street in the Valley.
Okay. Well, Amanda Blackout from Alaska Youth Choir, thanks so much for coming up in and telling us all about what's going to be happening with the youth choir in the upcoming year and encouraging those young voices to get out there no matter what you think your ability is. If you have an interest, it's a great place to learn how to sing.
Yes.
All right. Thanks, Amanda. For Juneau Afternoon today, where numerous rain showers are in the forecast for tonight, and then same thing for Saturday, but just scattered. And then Sunday night is going to be partly cloudy. Labor Day looking at just partly cloudy and highs in the mid-60s, and the same for Tuesday and Tuesday night. So a little bit of nice weather coming up for the Labor Day weekend. We deserve it. Well, we had a great summer, but we still deserve it. Thanks so much for listening to a Juneau Afternoon today. Andy Klein, your host today, and thanks to all my guests. From Let There Be Light, and also from the Family Promise of Juneau, and Perseverance, and Alaska Youth Choir. Hope you all had fun listening, and have a great weekend.